It is dark.
It is cold.
It is noiseless.
It is empty. But it is also necessary. We are talking this morning about our caves. Our caves are the places that we go, the places that we escape to, the places that we retreat to when we are dealing with hardship and distress in our lives. Our caves are not necessarily happy places, but they are a necessary pit stop on our way to somewhere better. Some of our caves have stalactites that hang down a little bit lower. Some of our crevices in our caves may go a little bit deeper. Some of us may spend more time in our caves. Some of us may go further into our caves, but we all have caves, places where we wrestle with doubt and anxiety and pain and sorrow and depression. It is in our caves that we try to process words that echo like, "You have cancer." Or, "I'm sorry, we did everything that we could." It is in our caves that we see images of those that we've lost, of things that we've lost, and people that we have lost. It is in our caves that we recognize and realize our need for God. This morning, we are talking about our caves, why they are necessary, why we go there in the first place. And for that, we're going to be looking at a couple of caves in particular, or at least a couple of occasions when David found himself in a cave. And for that, if you will, be turning in your Bibles to Psalm 142. That is the 142nd Psalm. While you're finding Psalm 142 in your Bible, let me go ahead and say good morning. It is good to see you this morning, good to be here this morning. And I hope that you're glad to be here as well. We've got those who are visiting with us this morning, and we want to let you know that you are honored guests. We are glad to have you with us, and we would invite you back to worship with us at any opportunity that you may have. Invite everybody to be back this evening at 6 p.m. 6 p.m., we've got another opportunity to serve our God and to study from His Word. And I'll tell you, I'm especially excited about this evening, because we are beginning our question and answer series this evening. It's something I've been looking forward to for a while, and I hope that you've been looking forward to it as well. I have received many great questions that I hope to answer some of those this evening. We won't get to all of them. And I hope that as we do this evening and as we do this in the coming months, that you will continue to write down your questions and share those with me so that we can try to answer those from a biblical perspective. Questions about life. Questions about the Bible, questions about the things that we go through. I want us to be able to look through those things and reason through those things together. And so that's what we're going to be doing this evening at 6 p.m., at least in the lesson portion of our service. As I mentioned, David found himself in a cave on a couple of occasions. And the cave, again, it wasn't necessarily a bad place for David, but it wasn't a good place either. It was a place that he had to go to escape, to get away, and it was in the midst of those caves that he was able to wrestle with what he was going through. That he was able to cry out to his God and appeal to him for his help. It is in the cave that we see David struggling. Grappling with his feelings, with his circumstances, with what he is going through. And the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of us who have been in a cave recently. There are a lot of us here this morning who have been dealing with things in our lives that hurt and that cause us to doubt and cause us to question and cause us to fear and cause us to be anxious. We've dealt with sickness. And some of us have dealt with loss. And some of us have dealt with questions about life and purpose and what's going to happen next. And so it is to our cave that we go in those situations. If you've got Psalm 142 in front of you, you might see that there's a heading. There is a superscription to this psalm, as there are to many of the psalms in this book. And this particular heading, it says, a maskil of David when he was in the cave, a prayer. And there are two psalms that have a similar heading, give us kind of a similar historical setting. These are not inspired, but they are a very good tradition that we can take and that we can have confidence in, that these were the occasions when they were written. And there's two of them like this. We're going to be looking at both of them this morning. Psalm 142 and also Psalm 57. And the event to which they refer, there's actually a couple of times when David finds himself hiding out in a cave. The first one is for us in 1 Samuel chapter 22, when he has come under the ire of Saul, and Saul is pursuing him, and Saul wants to kill him and take his life because Saul is jealous of David. Because David is going to be the one who rises up and who's going to become king. And you'll remember what the people are singing. They're saying, well, Saul has killed his thousands, but David's killed his tens of thousands. And so there's a lot of jealousy. There's a lot of uncertainty there for Saul. And that causes him to pursue David. And so David has to up and leave and flee. And I believe it is on this occasion, this first occasion, that David is writing this psalm in particular, but probably also the psalm we're going to look at in just a few moments, Psalm 57. He's on the run. He's hiding out in a cave. He fears his life. He's not where he feels that he's supposed to be. He's not where he feels that he thought he would be or he thought he should be, but he finds himself in this cave. And he's got to wrestle with life and the questions that it brings. And so I think it would be helpful for us this morning just to read through these psalms and to take some lessons from these about why we go to our caves, why our caves are necessary, and what we do while we are there. Let's begin reading Psalm chapter 142, beginning in verse 1. It says, with my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. Verse 2, I pour out my complaint before him. I tell him my trouble before him. And the first point we want to make here this morning, first point we want to make here is that while we are in the cave, what we are doing is we are crying out to our God. And you can imagine, as David is praying these things, as he is crying these things, as he's pouring these things out, you get the sense that this is sort of a loud bellow, this cry. And he tells God his needs, he tells God his troubles, he tells God the things that he is going through. And you can almost hear it echoing in that cave, right? Because his voice is the only voice. His noise, his sound is the only sound in that cave. And so as he's crying out to God, you can hear it reverberating. God, save me. God, why am I here? God, why is this happening to me? There is an idea that as Christians, we always need to be happy people. That as Christians, we always need to be a people that have a smile on our face, that we look at the world and it's all sunshine and roses and everything is going well, and that's not real life. That's not how we live, and it's not just about mustering up the strength to put a fake cheesy smile on our face. But that it's okay to deal with things. It's okay to struggle through things. It's okay to cry out to God, even to complain to him as the psalmists do, and to say, God, why is this happening? It's okay to do that in certain circumstances. Granted, we cannot end there, and we will not end there this morning. But if that is where we begin, that's okay. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to take our troubles. He wants us to take our complaints, the things that we're going through, the questions that we have, and He wants us to come, and He wants us to lay those down at His feet. And so that's exactly what David does. He cries out to God. And particularly, he is crying out to the one who can deliver him. He's crying out to the only one, the only person who can help him in this situation. And while that is not explicit here, I do think we're going to see that a little bit later on in this psalm. And we're going to see that especially as we get to Psalm 57, that God is the only one who can help. That God is the only one who can deal with what we're going through. And so we take our cares and concerns to Him. And we cry out to Him. Notice verse 3, it says, "When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. The path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me." My spirit faints within me. David is distressed. More than that, David is depressed. He is broken down. He has been brought low. His spirit is fainting. It is near to giving out. That's where he is. And we need to be honest about where we are in this life. We need to be honest about the things that we're going through. Again, I think we see as an ideal a person who can put behind them all of their emotions, a person who can put behind them all the things that they're going through. And maybe there is something to that. But we also need to realize and recognize that it is okay to be a people who come before God and recognize our emptiness. Recognize the lowliness of our spirits and the places that we are in. And so he says, "You know my way." That is, you know my life. You know what I've gone through. You know the path that I've walked. You know what's brought me here to this cave. And for David, what brought him to his cave was that although he was doing the will of God and although he was going out and fighting giants and winning wars and doing the things that God would have him to and living a righteous life along the way, Saul was pursuing him. Saul was persecuting him. That's what drove David to his cave. Maybe what drives us to our caves is that a house which was once full is now empty. Or maybe it's still full literally, but figuratively, it might as well be. Maybe it's the cancer in our bones or whatever diagnosis that the doctor has brought us, and that drives us to our cave, to the place where we wrestle and we grapple and we cry out. Maybe it's the fact that the bills have stacked so high, they're starting to create a cave around us as they envelop us. There are many things that drive us to our caves. And God cares about them all the same. And so he cries out to the God who can help. Verse 4, "Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul." Our caves are the place that we go when nobody else is there. Our caves are the place that we go when we realize that nobody else can really help in this situation. Our caves, they are necessary places, but they are lonely places. And as we travel to them, we become keenly aware of the fact that nothing is going to fill this hole. Nothing is going to solve this problem. There is no thing, no person that is going to be able to help me here. I've been thinking a lot lately about relationship and the fact that we are created for relationship. And if we are not living to be a blessing in these relationships, what are we living for? We can amass all the wealth that we desire. We can have all the success, all the stature, all the status, all the popularity, all the fame, whatever. We can have all of that. But if we're not doing it, if those things are not happening in the context of relationship, why are we doing them in the first place? God has created us for relationship. And while that is true, the fact of the matter is, there is no one relationship with any human being or any number of human beings that we can have with somebody here in this life that is going to fill our deepest void. I've used this illustration before, and when we're kids, we play with blocks, right? And you've got one of those deals where you've got this piece of wood or box or something, and it's got all these different holes in it, right? And each of these holes has a different shape, and so you've got a triangle shape for the triangular prism, and you've got a square shape for the cube, and a circle shape for the cylinder. And we've made this point before. You try putting that circle shape in the square hole, it's not gonna fit. You put the triangular prism in the circle hole, it's not going to fit. And the point that we want to make here is that we have a God-shaped hole. And so oftentimes we try to put an odd-shaped block in that God-shaped hole. So often we look for other things to fill that emptiness, to fill that space, to answer our fears, to quell our anxiety. And at the end of the day, we must recognize that there is one thing and one thing only that can fill and make us whole. And so look to the next verse. It says, I cry out to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. David has just said in verse 4, I have refuge in no one else. There is no one else who is here for me now. Everybody else is left. Nobody else can fulfill me. Nobody else can sustain me. There is nothing in my life that can make me whole. Nothing but you. God is our refuge. God is our portion. And the idea there is, this is something that is divided. And so if you go in to war, there might be a portion that is divided. It's the spoils. It's the gain, the loot that you get from war. Or we might think of the Israelites when they went into the land was divided and various tribes got various portions of the land. That was their portion. And what David says here is it's not food that I need right now. I'm sure David's hungry on the run, hiding in a cave. It's not a piece of land. It's not a home that I'm looking for. David's a refugee at this point. He has no home. And yet what he says is, what I need most in this life, what I need more than any person, any relationship, anything, is you. You are my security blanket. And so we must recognize the God who can fulfill us, the God who can sustain us. That's what we do in our cave as we wrestle with these thoughts, as we come to this point ultimately, that God is the only one who can deliver. God is the only one who can fulfill. He says in verse 6, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low again. David's depressed. David is sorrowful. He says, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Again, going along with that last point, we need to recognize that God is the only one who can truly help. That we are helpless, that we are hopeless. Have you felt that way? When you've gone to your cave, when you're dealing with a child who has been given a very difficult diagnosis, and you go to your cave, and there's nothing that you can do. It seems that there's nothing you can do for them in this situation. And so you cry out to God because you realize that God is the only one that can help. When you don't know when the next paycheck or where the next paycheck is going to come from. When you are struggling in your relationship, when you're struggling in your marriage and you don't know how it's going to work out. But you know, the only person that can help, as you feel hopeless and helpless, the only person that can help in that situation is God. And so we cry out to Him. That's what we do in our case. David ends this psalm. He says, "Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me. You will deal bountifully with me." I am alone. I am broken. I am empty right now, but I know that is not going to be my final state, because you will work on my behalf. Again, we're crying out to the God who can and will help. We go to our caves to cry out to our God, because He is the one that can help us in our situation. Turn with me, if you will, now to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Psalm 57 is a little bit more upbeat than Psalm 142. He is a little bit more positive, it seems, here in this psalm. And I think that just speaks to the fact that as we are in our cave, there's a development, there's a growth. There are going to be different responses. And maybe at first, when we are in this cave, when we're dealing with this thing, we are in Psalm 142. We are in a place where we are brought low, when our spirits faint within us. That is where we are. But also in our cave, as we wrestle through these things, there is reason for hope and to be positive and to look forward. And I think that's what we get more in Psalm 57 than we did in Psalm 142. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I take refuge, till the storms of destruction pass by." What is going on in the life of David is there are the waves have been crashing, the billows are rolling. He sees himself in this storm. And yet God is the one who is going to be protecting him. God is the one who is going to save him. And so he says in verse 2, "I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me." We recognize our need for God. We also come to grapple with God's purpose in the cave. In the cave, we begin to ask the question, why? In the cave, we begin to ask, God, why am I here? What have I done? What has brought me to this situation? What has caused you? Sometimes we might ask to put me in this situation. We need to realize that even in the cave, God is fulfilling his purposes. That even as we are brought to this place where we are grappling with these things, God is fulfilling his purposes. And let's just put this in the context in the life of David. Who was David? David at this point has been anointed king. He's not king yet. He doesn't have the throne. But he is told he's going to be the future king. He's going to reign. He's going to rule. David is a commander in Saul's army. David is a great commander, the greatest of commanders in Saul's army. That is who David is. David has won many a victory. David is a man who walks with God. Where was David supposed to be? Well, let's just think, as David is grappling with these thoughts, where is he supposed to be? I'm supposed to be in the palace. I am supposed to be on the throne. Here he doesn't have a land. He says, I'm supposed to own the whole land. That's where he's supposed to be. Well, maybe God's purpose isn't working out. Maybe God's plan isn't being accomplished. That's what many people think as they face distress and they face tragedy and face trouble in their life. Well, God's just not working anymore. Or God has turned against me. God is no longer working on my behalf. And David can pray. David can cry out to God even in the midst of the cave and say, even here, God is fulfilling his purpose for me. Nothing has changed. This is just, again, a pit stop on the path to somewhere better. That's what the cave is. And so when we're in our cave, when we're grappling with the things that we go through, it's not that God has forgotten about us. Or that God's purpose is no longer being worked out. In fact, we need to understand the opposite. Even in the midst of the cave, God is working his purposes in us and for us. Verse 3, he will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts. The children of man in whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Again, what drove David to this cave? It was the fact that people were against him, that people were pursuing him. They had turned against him, and like ravenous beasts, they were trying to devour him. And ultimately, it comes down to their teeth and their tongues, their sharp swords, spears and arrows. And maybe it is that as we are in our cave, the reason we're there, it's not because somebody is necessarily pursuing our life physically, but it's because somebody has said something about us. You know, we learn, how many of us learned when we were children, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Or, I am rubber and you are glue. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you or something like that, right? And those are great. Those are helpful maybe in some ways, but those just aren't true. Because I'm not rubber. And what you say does hurt me. And while sticks and stones hurt, oftentimes it is the sting and the pain of words that hurt far longer than broken bones and bruises do. And maybe that's brought you to your cave. Maybe we're grappling with the fact that somebody has slandered you or said something about you, said something to you, and you're trying to deal with that. But even as we're dealing with those things, notice what David goes on to say. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And he's going to repeat himself later on. And this really comes to be the main thrust of this psalm. That even as I am in the midst of the cave, even as I am dealing with the things that I am dealing with, God is to be praised. God is to be glorified. Because again, God is working out his purposes for me and through me and in me, even in this cave. And so he concludes verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens and your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. David might be crying out to God. David might be in a place where his soul is brought low, his spirit is fainting within him, and that might be where he starts. But it's not where he is. Because as we grapple with the things that we're going through, as we deal with those things, and as we deal with those from a biblical perspective, recognizing that God is steadfast, recognizing that God is faithful, what does that do to us? It makes us steadfast. It strengthens our soul. It strengthens our hearts. It gives us confidence because we know that he is a faithful God who is working on our behalf. And so in the cave, we are strengthened again. It's not necessarily a bad place, even if it's not a happy one. It is necessary. And ultimately, again, it results, it ends with us recognizing God's praiseworthiness. We recognize his goodness. We recognize his goodness even in the midst of the trial, even as we are driven to the cave. As we see the darkness, as we hear the nothingness, as we are forced to deal with our thoughts and our emotions, the circumstances in which we are in, it's a good thing that we go to our cave. Because in our caves, we cry out to the God who can't help. In our caves, we come to recognize that God is the only one who can help. In our caves, we know that God is the only one who will never leave us. In our caves, we come to grapple with God's purposes for us. In our caves, our hearts are strengthened. In our caves, we turn to honor and give glory to God, because He is trustworthy. He is faithful. He will carry us through. And so the question that each and every one of us need to ask ourselves this morning is, who will I turn to when I'm forced to flee to my cave? Who will I put my trust and my faith in? Who will I cry out to in the midst of dire circumstances? We're about to sing as an invitation song, "It Is Well With My Soul," number 409. And what that song is saying, in essence, is, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Whatever circumstances that you are going through, maybe it is that you find yourself in a cave this morning. Are you crying out to God for help? You recognize that He is the one who can save and deliver you, the one who can make you whole. Maybe you're here this morning, and you are in a cave. But you don't have a loving heavenly Father to cry out to. Let us help you fix that. Let us help you begin a relationship with God. A relationship that begins by recognizing the path that I've been walking is not a good one. The life that I have lived it's not the one that you would desire for me to. But I know that with your help and with your guidance that you can make me into something new. That's where it begins. But it ends with coming to know this God who is faithful, this God who practices His steadfast covenant love. Can we help you to come to Him this morning? Maybe it is that you are here this morning, you are a Christian, and you are in the cave and you have not been dealing with it like you should. Or maybe you've been trying to grapple with it and you need the help and the prayers and the accountability of your family here to help you. Can we help you with that this morning? If you're here this morning, you have any need, if we can help you in any way, we'd ask that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.